for DJ W Mobile.
WKO4RUR Mobile. How are you today, Dave?
You are, W4DJW. Doing good. Just going to do a little bird hunting. What you doing?
Oh, not much. This is Chris. I'm on my way home, finally. We finished up early on a regular job, but we had a setup on one of the ramps at 385, the Gateway Project, that we had to tear down. And so we're finally finished it with that. And going to the house.
End of a long day. Not sure what time it is. I just had to stop on the road. There's a kid on a bicycle out in the middle of the road, and his parents were walking with a stroller. And they were kind of panicking because I was the car that came around the corner. Best just to stop and let them get that taken care of and then go by.
Thanks. Definitely.
KN4 of UWA.
Next piece to hunt for bird. So you go to Long John Silver's to go fishing, you go to Zaxby's to go bird hunting, you go to Roadhouse if you're, I don't know, hunting bear. So Steve, what's the deal with Saturday and the fly-in? It's not going to happen now or something? Is it going to rain?
Well, when I talked to Larry, he says if it looks like rain or if there's any rain at all, they call it off. And they're calling for something like, right now. And now, listen, you know the Weather Service. It can change from 1 minute to the next. But the Weather Service, AccuWeather, is calling for 61% chance of rain on Saturday. So that's what I was referring to. At this point, it may not look too good.
Rains, we don't go flying over at foothills. But, you can always build when it's raining. What's your hobby besides amateur radio?
I do the hiking and the fishing and the camping and stuff like that. You know, being in the military, that kind of taught me to keep staying in the outdoors.
Hey, guys, I got to jump out for just a minute. KN4, BWA, clear.
All right, see you in a little bit. I like that camping stuff, too. It's been a long time since I've done it, but for the last 50 years, I've had my head down working. I might raise my head up and go camping. That would be kind of fun, right? Do something. Get out from behind that desk.
Yeah, my job, we work on the highway. We work on the road and stuff. We do traffic control for, like, construction companies, the Department of Transportation, or Duke Energy or somebody. And working out in this heat all the time and out here on the highway, it's good to kind of get away sometimes. Actually, I went camping about 3 weeks ago. We went up to North Carolina. We went up to Biscay. That was nice. It was fun. But I can't wait till the fall gets here. That's when I camp out the most.
Here from South Dakota. He's originally from South Dakota. He stayed down here for 10 years. He's back up there now. But he worked outside all the time, too. And when we used to go do antenna hanging parties for new amateur radio operators who just needed their antenna put up, we'd go out there and I'd be sweating and be in the middle of the summer. It'd be hot outside. We'd be climbing around, throwing lines over trees and hauling them up and checking radios out. And I'd be sweating like a dog. Well, dogs don't sweat, but I'd be sweating a lot. And he'd be as dry and as cool as a cucumber because he worked out in that stuff all the time. He'd walk around on tops of roof houses, you know, with asphalt shingles and it being really hot, or he'd be out spraying lines where, you know, where people are going to cut through the dirt and they want to make sure they can cut through a line. But he'd do all kinds of jobs like that that kept him outside. And he was in really, really good shape. But me, sweating like crazy and him dry as a cucumber. I'm just wondering if that's the way it is for you.
No, when I was in the Army, I spent plenty of time overseas, and I always hated the heat. And when I got back home, I'm like, yeah, I'm never going to work in the heat. The heck with the heat. And then I started doing satellite with DirecTV, and then I started doing this stuff right here. I'm like, well, I guess that didn't work out well. But yeah, no, like today, I believe I lost at least 5 or 10 pounds just standing around KO4RUR.
There's these folks called the Danes over the Netherlands that believe in sweating and all this sweating stuff KO4RMM.
I believe that's where Steve may have been from originally, or his family, his ancestors were from there, because he also liked sitting around, he liked building those sweatshops, or what do you call it, salon, or whatever, bathhouse, or, you know, where you pour hot water over rocks and you just sit in there and sweat. He loved doing that kind of stuff, too. Who's the other station? W4DJW.
You want at the sauna when they make you be the ladle guy.
My family is Irish and Welsh, and so, no, yeah, if it's hot outside, we're going to burn or we're going to sweat.
Something to do with it, too. I think most of my dad is German, and most of my mom was Native American. So I got a cross between European and Native American.
In Afghanistan, I know some of the locals that come in, it'd be 120 degrees in there, and they're wearing them big thick jackets, and I'm like, yep, nope, not for me.
I was out in the field wearing long sleeve shirts when it's hot, really, really hot out there, and they're out there wearing long sleeve shirts because it helps them stay cooler, is what they say. I'm not sure exactly how that works, but they do it all the time, so they're the experts.
Yeah, actually, when I'm out here working, sometimes I'll wear a long sleeve shirt. It kind of helps my skin from burning as fast, and so it kind of keeps me a little cool.
Since 1975, as being a strong-blooded German, I've been trying to get the whole lederhosen thing going here down in Greenville. It's not working out too good for me.
Where was it? Somewhere downtown. It might have been last year they were wearing a lot of that, and I think there's a tent that sold those, or they're wearing those. I think it was Oktoberfest. Like the shorts and the tall socks and stuff like that. A lot of the German dancers and German folks wear when they're out having big shindigs.
It's got the straps, the overall kind of straps, and they're made out of like really thick leather. And you saw them on that movie Heidi, where they were in Switzerland and in the mountains. That kind of stuff.
Yes.
Myself with the movie Heidi. I don't know if everybody's seen that.
I haven't seen it.
You reference stuff nobody's ever heard about. Anyway, I'm 63 years old. I don't feel like I'm that old, but sometimes I do make reference to stuff that other people are, what was that?
A few of the folks at work, and I'm 38, and I'll be mentioning a movie or a song or something, and like the room would just be quiet.
2.5 men, there was one guy talking to Charlie one time, and he was talking about some of the women that he dated, and their names seemed very, very popular, and Charlie was like, I never heard of them.
I've seen 2.5 men a few times, but yeah, it's just funny sometimes, just be like, yeah, hey, blah, 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 huh? They just have this puzzled look on their face. I mean, granted, I've had that same puzzled look before. KO4RUR.
It's just a generation gap. I guess it's been going on for generations. And it's probably never going to end.
You know, even though I'm 38, I grew up, you know, my family were from Tennessee and Virginia. And so we grew up on Bluegrass and the Andy Griffith Show. Johnson City and
Elizabethan. The farm in Ducktown or Copper Hill, I don't know if you ever heard of that. That was before my time, though. I was an infant when my grandfather passed away and they had to sell the farm. But it got roots from Tennessee.
Copper Hill or Copper Hill?
Copper, like in the metal. Copper, like a penny is made out of. Copper Hill.
In Polk County, yeah.
We were kids. We went out there to his grandparents' house, and I was coming up on the front porch. She asked me, his grandma asked me if I wanted a roast in there. And I looked at him, and he looked at me, and I looked at her, and I asked him, what's a roastineer? And they all kind of laughed at me. You know what a roastineer is?
What, a roastineer?
Yeah, a roastineer.
I think like corn or something?
You got it. It's an ear of corn that's roasting in a pot. Anyway, I did not know what that was at all. And Mike was his name. He picked up a ear of corn. He said, you want one of these?
Yeah, I know. I used to hear my grandma and my dad speak of some type of corn stuff, and I figured when I heard the ear and it being from that area, the first thing came to my mind was corn.
Tune on the front porch, and everybody used it, grandma included. They all used that. Well, you could hit that thing from halfway across the front porch. I had a blast up there. I enjoyed it quite a bit. We went hunting, went out. I don't think we got anything, but we came back. There's three of us from down and around this area that went with Mike up to his grandma's house up there in Copper Hill. And we were sitting upstairs. There was two beds up there we were going to sleep in. And Mike and his buddy were sitting on one bed, and I was sitting across from him on the other one. And Mike laid his gun down. We had 22s. We were squirrel hunting or something like that. And it went off. It was laid across his legs, and it went off. And Mike looked at the guy sitting next to him. He said, did I get you? And he pulled his pants leg up, and a stream of blood squirted out across the room. He said, yep, you got me. And Mike and I both bolted down the stairs, ran down there to get the 911, to call 911 to come get him. He said, don't leave me up here alone. Those are good times in the hills of Tennessee.
It's funny because I'm putting a story together in my head, and I'm seeing the guy, you know, who got shot. He just looks down and goes, huh, well.
At the time, it's funny now thinking about it, but we were scared out of our mind that he was going to die. He got shot. It didn't hit a bone or anything. It just went a clean shot right through the calf of his leg. But it did squirt blood out. And that blood probably squirted 2 or 3 feet, but it seemed like it squirted 10 feet. And both of us just left him up there alone. He was fine in the end. There was no issue. We wrapped bandages around it and stopped it from bleeding. They got him there and took him to the hospital. They patched it up and we came home. I don't think they needed anything. They might have cleaned it. But it was scary back then. And that's when, you know, they didn't think anything about 12, 13, 14 year old boys out in the woods with guns by themselves. I don't think you'd hear any of that these days.
Yeah, I think one of the questions that me and my friends sometimes ask ourselves is, how did we survive?
Yes, we're running around with people in the back of the pickup truck with no seat belts or anything, just sitting in the back of the pickup truck, sitting up on the side while the truck's going 60 miles an hour. The dog's in the back with nothing holding them from falling out. All kinds of things like that. Nobody really, you know, never locking your doors. We never locked our car doors at all. Nothing ever got stolen out of it. No cars got taken, nothing. It's a totally different world than it is nowadays.
Well, it's true. Yeah, we used to be the same way. We, you know, no doors locked at night. You know, we'd sit out on the front porch and just listen to the crickets or just sit in the rocking chairs. My aunt used to live down the street from my mom, and they'd sit on the front porch just talking. Now you can barely do that without either hearing heavy traffic or sirens or whatever.
I'm in the tree stand. All these other people got their birds and they're leaving. My turn in the tree stand, I got to shoot me a bird. So I'll be back in a minute. W4DJW.
Where are you?